When you seek Jesus, what does it look like? When you seek Jesus, what does it look like? Or what does it maybe feel like when I ask you that question? I'm going to read you one of my favorite verses in just a moment, and it's next to near one of your favorite verses. And I know because this verse I'm going to read out of Jeremiah is one of the most popular Old Testament verses of all time. It's such an encouraging verse. But my favorite verse is a couple of verses later, Jeremiah 29, and you know it, 11. When you say Jeremiah 29, your tongue just goes straight to 11 because it's quoted so often. It's in prayers. It's on the placards that you can buy at the craft store and you hang it in the bathroom. It is so encouraging. And let me give you a little bit of background of what's happening right now to the Jewish people before I read this verse. They have just gone through one of the worst historical events of the nation, where King Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon has overtaken them, defeated them, and captured them and taken them captive, and he's exiling them. He's kicking them out of, most of them, out of the nation of Israel to Babylon. And they're going to be now living in a strange land, a foreign land. There's no temple. There's no anything set up for worship. This is a horrible future, it looks like. But in Jeremiah, it says that, hey, God is, he wants you to bless the city that you end up being forced to live in. This pagan, ungodly, full of evil city. Bless that city. And when you bless it, you'll get blessed. And in 70 years, I'll bring you back to the land. And God did do that. So here they are facing an uncertain future. It looks like the worst day in the history of the nation. And we read verse 11. God is saying to them, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Ooh. They were in the most horrible of circumstances, all that was happening around them, and yet God says, look at this. My thoughts for you are not of evil. Don't go there in your mind. Instead, I give you thoughts of peace, and I give you hope. The future is good in my eyes for you. Then verse 12 says, "Then you will call upon me and go pray to me, and I will listen to you." So he's saying, listen, even though you're far away from the land that I gave you in the temple, you pray to me, even in this strange place with all these new temptations, I will listen to you. I see you in your circumstances and all that you're dealing with. I see what you're going through. And here's my favorite verse, verse 13. "And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord." Oh, man, that's good for me. That assures me that by God's word and his promises that when I seek him, I'm not wasting my time. When I'm reading the word and I don't feel much out of it, when I'm praying and I don't seem to hear anything that day in those prayers that I've asked, it's not a waste of my time. It's a promise that when I seek him, I will find him. And it keeps me going, that when I'm not totally clear on what he's saying and doing, but if I keep seeking him, I will find him. There's a condition to it. There is with your whole heart. Right? So there is a condition, and it's a time to check your heart. It's a time to review, okay, Lord, am I holding other things more dear than you? Are there priorities that are out of whack and it's pushing you out as being number one on my heart? So it's a time of double checking. And even then I say, God, I need your help. And you want to help me. You want to grace me with abundant grace to seek you with all of my heart. I can't do that alone in my own strength either. I depend on you. And he says, of course, I want to help you with that. So this, I'm asking you in this series, when you seek Jesus, what does it look like? These verses in verse 13 gives me relief. Oh, good relief. He promises me that I will find him. Oh, gosh, it's a relief. Oh, good. It's not all on my shoulders. That gives me peace. That gives me joy. It helps me anticipate. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep seeking, and I will find him. In fact, I'm finding him right now. What am I saying? It's not even in the future. I'm finding him right now. I have this release. I have this new peace. I have this sense of guarantee. In these next three Sundays, we're going to be looking at three very different types of people, groups of people that sought Jesus and found him. And I'm praying that you're going to see aspects of yourself, hopefully in each one of these messages today. It's going to be the shepherds out in the field when Jesus is born. And then next Sunday, God willing, it's going to be just a few verses out of the Christmas story when Jesus goes to the temple at 8 days old, eight days of age, and Simeon, this old guy, and Anna, this prophetess, this elderly, godly woman, and we'll find how they seek Jesus. Very different the situations with the shepherd. And then on the third Sunday, Pastor Joel Miller would be teaching on the Magi. Totally different circumstances, situations, and yet they each found Jesus. So let's go. In your Bibles, your apps, I'd like to you see this story yourself. It's in Luke chapter 2. Pick the version you like. I'll be using New King James Version. And we're going to be in this chapter 2 for most of this morning. And just to remind you of the Christmas story, what's happened before the shepherds show up, is that Joseph is betrothed, engaged to be married to Mary. She ends up having this angelic encounter, and the angel Gabriel says, you're going to bear a child. She's like, you know, I'm still a virgin. How is that going to be? Well, the Holy Spirit is going to do this miracle. Don't you worry about it. And sure enough, she was pregnant. Somehow the grace of God came through. There's details, a great story with the angel appearing to Joseph in the dream, how they didn't break up and they stayed together and realized God is working here. And there is this census required through all the land. It was a legal Roman order that you had to go to your hometown where your family was originally from and register for the census. And I don't know how they made this decision, but it was God's will. But they trekked together. Mary was close to 9 months pregnant, 90 miles from where they lived in Nazareth down to Bethlehem. And looking at this map, just give you a little feel for it. Nazareth is up near the Sea of Galilee, the northern portion of the nation, and it's 90 miles. And back then, most Jews went around Samaria because that was a mixed race and they were unclean and they stayed away from them. So they made the distance longer, went around Samaria, along the Jericho, near Jericho City where Jordan River is. It's dangerous there. Wild animals, robbers for sure, all around. And then Jerusalem, and 5 miles beyond Jerusalem is Bethlehem. And that's where they had to go, is Bethlehem. This took a normal couple people on a good pace, 4 days, but for them and a pregnant lady and whatever else delays could come up, could have been a full week of travel. I sure would like to be in heaven one day and in there, Joseph and Mary's class. I think we're going to have a lot of opportunities to learn a lot of cool stuff in heaven. And just ask, what were the conversations like with a 9 month pregnant woman on a donkey for a week, and trying to get to Bethlehem in time, and then she goes into labor, her water breaks. What were the conversations like? I would just love to hear them retell that story and hear that even Mary and Joseph had some real life issues. They had to trust God for all this to work out. And sure enough, she has this baby in Bethlehem, and they wrap this baby in swaddling clothes, which are just these cloths they use for young ones there, and put them in a manger. Now, just to clarify, if you've been to Israel, and this area in most of Israel, but particularly in the south, is very rocky with cliffs and caves and holes on the sides of hills and mountains everywhere. Just you can turn, you see a cave over here and a cave just everywhere. And most likely this, when they talk about a stable for animals, it was a cave. And so this trough wouldn't be a wooden trough. It was, most of them were carved out of limestone. So that's what they cleaned out and put this baby Jesus in this trough in the stone. I was really, really touched and just impacted by David Eaton's message last Sunday, really from the scriptures and from his heart and life expressed the importance of words and actions. And it's a great message, a good teaching. I encourage you to go back and listen to it if you missed it. He talked about our trip that our group did in April of 2023. And we got to actually be in the Bethlehem area on Herodian. Herodian was one of Herodias, the king, the Jewish king, but under Roman control. Herod had many palaces and city and town, palaces and fortresses around the nation. He was so wealthy. He built things right to last, and he did a man-made hill taller than any other spot around Bethlehem, and we got to go up on this fortress and this palace and see this view of, we could see Jerusalem in the distance, and then Bethlehem was close by, and then these towns that were just spread out as a day's walk from each other. It was an incredible view, and you could see there was still some rural area and some fields, how there could be shepherds with their sheep down there. And as it got dark that night when we were there, we saw three stars coming together, and it was, no, I'm just kidding. It didn't happen. That was just makeup. So, but amazing things do happen when you go to Israel. I want you to go again, or for the first time. In Bethlehem, scholars estimate was small. It was around 300 people. Today, that population is around 300,000 people, and very modern in that sense. So let's read now in verse 8, Luke chapter 2. You've got the background, what's going to happen out here in this field. Luke 2, starting at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." Now let me take some time and express to you shepherds. To give you a little bit more understanding, shepherds were the tough guys of the society. They were the rugged guys. They were the guys who didn't always smell good, or because they were working outside. They basically lived outside. They had those skills, and people knew they were tough comrades. You do not mess with shepherds. In fact, during the times of Jesus, they even were so known to be into robbery and theft that it said, don't even trust them to buy clothes or other goods. Don't even trust them. It was so prevalent. Their reputation was so bad. They were the low of the low. They were unclean because they were with animals, and their poop happened to clean them all the time. They couldn't get ceremonially clean to get into the temple, so they never could go to worship. They were definitely far distant from spiritual a worship from God. This is the type of shepherds were viewed in that day. These shepherds could have very likely been a unique type of shepherd working for the rabbis. Because it tells us this phrase in verse 8. Now, in the same country, shepherds living there. And what many of the shepherds that lived near Bethlehem going toward Jerusalem worked for the rabbis to prepare the lambs for the sacrifice in Jerusalem. Again, on our trip there in April 23, we got to go through the sheep gate. It's actually called the lion's gate in more modern terms, but it was called the sheep gate for many centuries, where these sheep would come out of these fields near Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and they would be brought in, and they had to be young lambs. So that's why these sheep were birthed near Jerusalem. They had to be young, and they had to be protected, and they would wrap them in swaddling clothes to protect them from the journey, scratches, bruises, injuries. Because when they brought them to the rabbis, they would check them over, and they would only take the lambs without blemish, the most valuable lambs they would only take. And during this, they believe, scholars believe, that probably Jesus was born in the fall. You say, well, what about December 25th? I mean, that's what we celebrate his birthday. What's up? Well, that kind of came up later as a good time of the year in the calendar year. But when they look at different evidences, it's probably in the fall around Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish festivals in the fall. And they would have, for the priests themselves, would have sacrificed around 100 lambs, and then other families in needs, it would have been more than that. And so here the practice was that these shepherds, who are the most unlikely ones to be spiritual, to be right with God, to be spiritual, to hear from God, they were chosen to see and hear about Jesus Christ, the new Savior of the world. And here they are, and they understand what's happening, because this baby is going to be in swaddling clothes, and they know how precious the sacrificed lambs must be handled for the sacrifice. And they got to see this sacrificed lamb for the world. This had to be a shock. They are minding their own business. They're doing their daily work. It probably gets boring sometimes. And they're just minding their own business. And boom, an angel shows up. And there's this light in the sky. They are definitely freaking out. And that's why the angel has to say, stop freaking out. Do not be afraid. I know this is of another world. This is of another power. And yes, I could smite you dead in a moment, but I do not be afraid. And this statement is amazing. I will bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. That's all people. What good news to shepherds? You mean for us? We don't even can't live a ceremonial clean life. We can't even get into the temple to worship. Is this for us too? Is this for beyond the Jewish nation? Is this for those that enemies we have? This is for all people. What a powerful statement that the shepherds realized. And verse 12 says, 11 and 12, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. I think that word stuck out to them. You, for there is born to you, shepherds. You're not left out. This is really to all people. And so if you have in your mind, well, God's mad at me. Well, God, I'm not gifted like Julia to worship. I have a hard time seeking God. If you have any thought that you are not qualified, you're not able, listen, it is not true. Jesus came for all people, and he says he was born for you and me. I just appreciated Fred's heart so much, just having a moment of gratefulness that I sought Jesus and I found him. I know him. I have a relationship with him. I've not been left out. He did not ignore me and walk the other way. I want to spend some time with this phrase, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. So we don't use the word tidings very often. Good tidings, what is that? When we use that, we have to think it through. What is that? Well, it's just simple. It's actually telling good news. It's not just good news in itself, but it's spreading good news, proclaiming, declaring good news. And sometimes this word used in other places in the New Testament is to preach the gospel. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. And it's not to just be studied by itself, but it's to be declared, it's preached. And this good news is so good that you're going to get crazy full of joy. The amount of joy is great. It's humongous. It's hard to measure. The news is so incredible and unbelievable. It's going to just open this door for joy for you. This good news of what? Well, a Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. That means He is the Lord. He is God. He is God, Lord Almighty. He's not a Lord, little L. He is the Lord Almighty. He is Christ. He is the Messiah, sent one from heaven. He is the one your people have been waiting for centuries. This is Him, the Christ, the Messiah. And He's born for you a Savior. Because, folks, we all need a Savior. We enter the kingdom of God like a child with humility, saying, I need the Father. I need help. I need salvation. I cannot overcome these sins of my life by myself. I need a Savior, is a deliverer, is a rescuer for us to rescue us from our own sins and shame. Oh, thank you, Lord. And therefore we get to, because Jesus Christ is a sacrifice lamb. He took on himself our sin so that he was punished and we get to receive his righteousness. Thank you, Lord. I want to spend some time before we go on the story about joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. Being happy is good. It can be a result of joy, can be a part of joy. But I found that when I looked at definitions of happiness and joy in secular dictionaries, they were written the same. They were almost the same, and there wasn't much distinction, and there is for us believers. For definition of happy is an emotional response to good things happening, fun experiences, or seeing success extra, etc. These are external in nature. That the circumstances around you are going good. And so there's happiness, there's laughter, there's this expression that it's good, it's blessed. But joy is deeper than that. Joy is deeper. So the definition of joy, these are both of my wordings just from different readings I did, that it is rooted in a gratitude of God's grace always available to us despite the current circumstances. So whether circumstances are good or bad, we have this gratitude in this rooted place in us that, hey, I have grace of whatever I need today, no matter what's happening around me. And that's a strong foundation. And that is what we can be so grateful for. See, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And in your scriptures that have the capital S, it's a capital S, the Holy Spirit. And when we're going to read that list of the nine fruits of the Spirit in just a moment. And these are things, and remarkably so, that we can choose to have in our soul, in our being. Isn't that interesting? That these are things that just don't surprise us and come over us and then it goes away. No, we actually can participate and say, I want to pursue. Let's read these nine fruits of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And so these are things that are a reality for a believer, and it comes out of our spirit. It comes from a different, a deeper place than just happiness and laughing at something, having some fun, which is good, but there's a deeper place, because we can know God's love, we can sense it, and then we can choose to love. The next one is joy. We can be in the middle of something, but we look at this incredible gospel, this good news, and that's better than the worst thing happening to us today, and we can choose joy. We can choose peace, long-suffering. We can choose kindness, faithfulness. We can choose gentleness and self-control. Now, Stephen, you don't know what I'm going through. That's really a hard thing for me to listen to, that you can choose joy. Particularly, and I'll just go there, it's just something that so many people deal with, and that's holiday grief. Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's can be a tough time for people. Maybe they've lost a loved one recently. Maybe it was a long time ago, and then those memories of the holidays bring that grief back, and it's hard. And God said, Jesus preached in his Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who mourn. So he knows that we're going to mourn. He knows we're going to have losses. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. So it's a mourning with him in the picture with unto him with the love of God and the love of family and friends. There is comfort for us. So that would be my hope for you, that when holiday grief hits, that you'll be open for more comfort during this holiday season. That God has that for you. It's a comfort to heal wounded places. Places of loss and loneliness. And he wants to touch those. Please don't block that. Say, Lord, I want more comfort to heal my grief. And there's this phrase in the scriptures, Old Testament, and even knew that he will turn our mourning into dancing. And you're going, yeah, well, that's got to be a miracle, because I can't even imagine that. That has to be God to be able to turn our mourning into dancing. And that's it is God. And you can experience bits of that and then more moments and then more of that. And then there is this joy that you have in your life, despite the losses that you've experienced. So, Lord, we want to choose joy. Help us with that. Apostle Paul said, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So this is that context, that this is a choice. And I love this. I needed this for myself. I'm like, okay, hold it. Watch yourself, Stephen. Watch your attitude. I was got up early to do the early morning workout at F3 over at Collins High School parking lot. It was that, I think it was the Tuesday, 14 degrees outside with the wind chill. And I was driving. It's only like a 6-7 minute drive for me. And I started thinking as I was driving about a couple of situations, personal situations that weren't even big things. I can't remember what they were now. but you know, could become a conflict, could become an issue, and have to be a frustration to deal with it. And I thought about this enough to where I missed my normal turn. I mean, you know, normally you can just drive with your eyes closed, right? Because you do it the same turn, and I missed the turn. So I had to go a long way, and I ended up being a couple minutes late, and the guys already started off running, you know, jogging off somewhere. I had to go find them and everything. And so as I'm jogging and exercising, about 15, 20 minutes later, I'm going, why did I do that? I actually missed my turn. I've been working out here for you know, going on 3.5 years or something. I've never missed the turn. You know, it's just weird. And I'm like, what? You know, my flesh wanted to go to fear, wanted to go to the possible conflict, wanted to go through doubt, wanted to go through, my flesh just went there. My mind was just kind of going, and it went there. And so I'm working out, I'm going to change this. And again, they were small things. I can't remember what they were. But I said, Lord, I just bless that situation. I pray over that. I trust that person to you and that situation to you. And I did it to the second one and went on. And then, you know, I didn't even think about it the rest of the day. I chose a direction of the fruit of the Spirit. And we have that opportunity every day. Let's get back to the story. Okay, so what has happened so far? The shepherds have seen an angel in this bright light. They hear this incredible news. And so they're instantly going, wow, this is amazing. Did we just hear that? This joy is just coming to overwhelm them. And let's read verse 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Wow. First, let's understand this picture. One thing is that, you know, regular art out there and Christmas art and things about angels, you know, take a lot of liberties and aren't probably what it's going to be like. Angels aren't cute little babies with a little arrow like the Cupids, okay? That there's no description like that in the Bible that angels are that way. Or even just these pretty, you know, just beautiful glowing angels, and you're just like, oh, that's so pretty. They're so pretty. I just want to go and give them a big hug. Now, we see, when you see an angel, you don't go rush and give them a big hug. You tremble. You freak out. You get on your face and you're begging for mercy because of this power. And when it uses the word hosts, that's talking about the armies of heaven, the hosts of heaven. So these are probably not the angels that fly around the throne constantly worshiping God. These are armies, warrior angels that go do God's will and have to do spiritual warfare with demons of fallen angels, and they're in battle and they have this mighty strength and power, and they're tough hombres like those shepherds, you know. They're like, we've been in a lot of battles and we make sure we win every one, you know. I mean, and so they're looking at this host of heaven, and host is like an uncountable number. This is not like 10 or 20 or 100. This is, you know, thousands that these shepherds are seeing. So they got the suddenly of one angel, and now they got another suddenly of boosh. The whole sky is full of these warrior angels and their power and strength. And they're praising God and declaring who their Lord is. They're praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill toward men. This is a historical moment for all of these angels who've lived, you know, since they were created eons ago, that their Lord Jesus has left heaven and is in earth. They've never seen the baby Jesus before. The Lord, a baby? We're going to serve a baby? The commander-in-chief is going to be a baby. I mean, they are in a moment of discovery, and here they are. They're praising God. And there's a little debate here. Do we know for sure they were singing? We always assume it's a singing group of angels. And when the word praise is used, I'm convinced they were. Because it says they were praising God and saying this declaration. Because in the Hebrew mindset, whenever you read praise, let's say in the book of Psalm, there's always music to it. There's always singing to it. The whole book of Psalms is a worship book put to tunes. These shepherds may have had broken family situations with their work schedule. They may have been rejected by other family members because they chose to be a shepherd, or because they are a shepherd and they feel secluded. They feel excluded. They feel alone. It's a rough life living outdoors all the time, and yet these angels give them a specific hope and encouragement. Do not despair, shepherds. There's goodwill towards you. There's peace for you. God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 29:11. And this peace comes from our mighty commander, the Prince of Peace. Let's keep reading verse 15. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. For me, this is an example of a biblical way to seek Jesus. They did it with haste. They did it immediately. They did it with an obedient reaction, a quick yes. Yes, we will do this. These are important characteristics to notice. Because how many times do we go, wow, this is really different. Let me think about this. Let me analyze this some more. Let me do some more research. And the terms I might use, let me keep praying about it for a confirmation. And that sounds spiritual. It is spiritual. It is biblical. God does that. But we want to be careful that we are actually saying, I'm not sure, God, if I want to obey you, I'm going to delay this process right now. And we get into a delayed obedience. And because that's not what the Lord wants. In this situation, it was obvious. Go right now. Don't analyze. Don't wait for another confirmation or a prophetic word to come from one of your prophetic friends or something. This is a time to obey. This is a lesson for parents. We want to teach our children when they're young to obey without delay. When it's been a clear instruction, there's no confusion in the situation, but everything is clear and we give the instruction. We know they heard it. We know they understand it. And then we allow them to hee-haw about it, to whine about it, say, what about this or what about that? And all those things are taken care of. And we let this whole debate thing go on now for several minutes or longer. We are teaching them it's okay to have delayed obedience. And you end up, kind of having to coerce them from others. It's not obedience at all. In the military, you can't have delayed obedience. They train you that this is real life. And in training, we got to be ready for combat. And so we honor our authorities. And when they give us a clear instruction, we know what it is. We say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Because that is the only way to have victory and safety on the battlefield. It's for quick obedience, quick follow through. It's with haste. It's right now. And so I say to you young people, I say to us at work, let's check our heart that we aren't walking into a pattern of delayed obedience, and we dishonor our leaders, our authorities, our parents, and instead we respond with respect and quick obedience. There's more to this passage, so let's go ahead and go there. Luke chapter 2, verse 17 says, "And now when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." God chose the tough, rugged shepherds to be the first evangelists of the gospel, of the good news, the most unlikely ones to actually proclaim that the Messiah is here. So you're more than ready. You're more than ready to be an evangelist, of being a preacher, of making known this good news. You're more than ready. This teaches us, don't judge a book by its cover, because God is working in that heart. And God, it can do something, something big in someone. You say, that's the most unlikely. No, they'll never get right with God. No, they never. And no, listen, that's the ones God is going after. Imagine the people that they're widely saying this to. Like, what? You're a shepherd? What do you... Oh, you're one of those rabbi shepherds. You work for the rabbis, and you saw the sacrificed lamb in human form. The Messiah is here. The whole thing would have been a shock to their system. They shepherds wouldn't lie about that. They wouldn't make up this story. They're not like that. They're not super spiritual. They're not religious leaders. So I want us to just even mention what Fred already said today. How can we spread this joy of good news? How can we choose joy and spread this joy, be witnesses of this joy? This spreading of joy, it was like a snowball effect. It was intensifying, multiplying. You know, joy is such a desirable trait. I mean, my heart's longing for it. This message was good for me. To say, Stephen, you don't have to wait for it. You don't have to, you know, expect some big thing to happen. Oh, that, now, no, listen, I get to choose joy, and I have this awesome reason to be joyous. It's desirable. In fact, when we just see a group of people over in the room on the other side kind of laughing and giggling and hee-hawing and punching each other and stuff, it's like, you look over there, I wonder what they're talking about. I wonder what they're, you know, or somebody who starts smiling, they're by themselves, they start smiling. And you go, what are you smiling at over there? What are you, you know, if they chuckle or something, you go, oh, are you laughing at me? You know, is there something on my face I need to wipe off? I mean, what's going on? You know, were you laughing? There's joy, laughter. It gets our attention, and we look toward it. We want to see, well, what's so funny? Tell me. I want to know. What's so funny? Tell me. What's so funny? Don't leave me out. Tell me the joke. Tell me the story. I want to hear it. It's such a desirable trait, and we as believers have all the reasons to spread it. There's ways to spread joy. I know last year at Christmas, it was December 23rd, we hosted a Christmas party and dinner in the fellowship hall. It was really open to anybody and open for those, you know, particularly outside our church as well, that just may not have a family event to go to that week. And this was something that was on my heart. And Andrew Lane, our new staff person at the time, I had her lead this and coordinate it and get it done. She did a great job. And unfortunately, I did not have the manpower around me, and I couldn't do it myself, so we're not doing it this year. And that just breaks my heart. I don't like that. That was a demonstration that a party atmosphere with gifts and fun and games, this laughter and this joy and this happiness, it's a part of the message of the gospel. Let's enter it into together. And we were there just having fun together. And so I encourage you, think of some, just pray about it. You maybe think of somebody that may be alone at Christmas week and their family lives in another state or something. And, you know, invite them over for something that you're doing that can just be part of this festive time. You know, when the scripture out of Nehemiah, that the joy of the Lord is your strength. What an encouraging verse. It's one that my mom would remind me since I was a boy, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And in high school, one of my nicknames was Smiley Riley. And she didn't even have the last name Riley when she was a kid, and they nicknamed her Smiley when she was a teenager. And so the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's encouraging. There's strength that comes with the joy of the Lord, where it's rooted in joy. This, no matter the circumstances, we have an abundant grace to stand on and look into the future. But this was a season, this was a time of feasting. They're actually feasting in Nehemiah when that scripture's quoted. So I want to say, hey, it's okay to enjoy that extra piece of pie. It's okay. I just love Thanksgiving. It was just over and we get into some more. And more chocolate, the better. And I'm just looking forward to it. It's okay. And now, listen, you know, but my doctor says, okay, do what your doctor says. All right, whatever. But there are times of feasting that God wants us to experience, that joy of that good food and that fellowship and the fun. That is the part of the nature of God in what we see in Scripture. Another way to spread some joy, and this is some of my last points here, is in ways to plant seeds of the true reason for the season. And I will say that phrase pretty often during Christmas season. Jesus is the reason for the season. And, you know, I'll go, yeah, that's right, man. Yeah, that's right. And I wanted to be more creative this year. And so I thought of some phrases that wrap around the joy of Christmas, because it's easy to talk about the joy of Christmas because, hey, isn't it a fun time? You know, when are you going to have family in and, you know, the Christmas tree and the lights. I haven't put the lights on the house yet. That's a big project. And, but the grandkids are coming in, so I can't skip it. Okay. And there's this festive season. But when you're in conversation, you're talking about this festive joy, this happiness, and you say that, hey, the joy of Christmas, well, my joy lasts forever in salvation through Christ. That you say, hey, yeah, this is a joyous Christmas time, but my joy lasts beyond Christmas. It's rooted in salvation. Oh, the joy of Christmas, isn't great, we're going to have a great time. The Savior was born for me and for you, and that really makes me happy. That he was born for you. He was born for those shepherds. He was born for me. The shepherds rejoiced at the birth of Jesus. I too rejoice because his birth means my salvation. And we keep our joy rooted in our salvation because that's something that no circumstance can take away from us. These circumstances are hard, Stephen. You don't know how I'm suffering right now. And I, you know, you're right. I don't know and fully understand what you're going through. It's painful. But I want to tell you, your salvation is sure in Christ. Don't give up on him. Don't turn your back on him. He is good. He is faithful. He is with you. You're not alone. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come up. And I'd like to go ahead and give you some statements to take home with you and as you pray in this last song here. When you seek Jesus, What does it look like? I know for me, when Julia a couple times said this, when you go to the manger, what do you offer? And I'm thinking, you know, what's in my pocket, whatever. I just offer myself, bowed on my knees, and I just say, I surrender it all. Here, take it all. I surrender it all, whatever I can do and be. That when you seek Jesus, what does it look like? One, there is a promise you will find him. So be encouraged. Don't look at it this as something hard that it's never going to come about. No, when you seek him, you will find me, he said. And when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. There's a promise in this. Be encouraged. Look forward to it. The seeking of Jesus. One is we have an option to choose joy. And maybe it's just a step of joy more than you have. And it may not be the fullness of joy that you're really wanting and seeking, but it's a step of joy where you take that circumstance and situation and you say, I choose joy because my salvation is greater than that circumstance. And this good news is for me. So choose joy. Be ready for immediate obedience. That there's an urgency in obeying God. Yes, Lord. Yes, I see you. I'm going there. Yes, it's now. And then God wants to use us as joy spreaders. Witnesses of him, evangelists of him, planting seeds about the true meaning of Christmas. Offering prayer to people that are going through maybe that hard time. But we have good news. We have an incredible story to tell. And it's unbelievable. And when we let it sink in, it either drives us to tears or drives us to praising God and thanking him with gratitude and joy. So let's do that right now before God and keep our ears open on what God is speaking to each one of us.
Let's stand up together and sing this. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And
I'll do that again. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Woohoo! Oh, Father, I want to offer the good news to anyone in here this morning, anyone watching online, that Jesus Christ has brought good news for you. He was born for you. He died on the cross for you, and He rose from the grave for you. And you can have quick obedience right now, where you turn from you making your own life decisions your own way, and you say, no, I'm going to turn away from my sins and selfishness. I'm going to repent. I'm going to turn towards you, and I'm going to believe you. I do believe you, that you died on the cross for me and rose from the grave. This can be your day of entering into an eternal joy, a relationship with Jesus Christ. This could be your day that you've been away. You've been purposely going another direction. You didn't realize that you were going in that much of an opposite direction, but this is a time for you to repent and say, I don't want that anymore. I want relationship with Jesus. I want those nine fruits of the Spirit in my life. Those are the characteristics of Jesus: love, joy, peace, and so on. Lord, I want that. Yes, when you turn and believe, then you have made that decision and you are being born again right now. One of us, we want to pray for you. I'll be down here. I can pray for you, a friend that you're with, someone online, a friend that you know. Have prayer with them to go into the next step in relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't wait another day. Have that quick obedience today. We have these altar ministry people on either side. They're available for prayer about anything. Anything that's bothering you, you need someone to agree with you, to have faith through something that's difficult, come to them online. We have a phone number right now for the next 30 minutes on Sunday morning. Someone to pray with you. You have a great week. Let's keep seeking Jesus and be joy spreaders from Him. Have a great week. Love you guys.